Hey everyone, and welcome to the Infinite Respawn Podcast. I'm Chicken.
I'm Oak Tree.
I'm Griff.
I'm Baga.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
How's it going? Here we are again.
It's going.
2 weeks later. Man, these last 2 weeks felt like they went by fast.
They kind of did feel like that. I don't know why. It's weird. It's weird. Whatever. Anyway, welcome back. Let's talk about some news so that we can talk about the fun stuff. It's like we gotta, you know, eat our vegetables before we can have dessert. Is what
I
think
like
we changed the show to.
Vegetables is dessert. That's what you tell kids, so that they eat them begrudgingly.
My child used to just do that in general. Rabbit used to just turn around and eat broccoli instead of cookies. Which
hey,
I
broccoli and
that.
Cheese. Hell yeah.
No, God no.
Broccoli and cheese. Cheese on everything.
No.
You use the spray cheese too. You use that cheese
stuff. Stop. the
cheese moves.
Broccoli and cheese smells like feet, man. It's awful.
Okay, I disagree with that, but.
I bet you're one of the people that like to eat cilantro too.
I like cilantro.
I do like cilantro.
Yeah,
welcome
you
to the best
eaters.
Video game podcast about food. You're welcome.
A bunch of soap eaters out there.
Look, if there's a gamer here that doesn't like food, they don't need to be gaming. That's what
no
I said.
No kidding. Doritos. It's the fruit of the gods, or whatever you call it. Mountain Dew is the elixir of the gods.
I don't think that's true.
Us nerds live on Doritos and Mountain Dew.
That's
not
true.
Let's perpetuate the stereotype of nerds.
I don't like you.
but you married him.
I mean,
I know,
but I didn't know his view on foods, like Doritos and Mountain Dew, nectar of the gods. Wait a minute now.
There you go.
Need to
see, now you're getting
this
it.
Up a little bit.
And then there are grounds for divorce.
I'm keeping the 64.
No, she's going to take it just to spite you.
Yeah, I'm sure she will.
All right, let's talk about some news. Oh, you guys. Or some broccoli, if you will. Where do you even want to start? Because there's like two things about Embracer that ties kind of sort of tangentially into the Borderlands thing.
They all kind of go together. It's kind of weird, and even though they're not related.
Yeah, that's kind of how I picked these, because these last couple of weeks have been pretty rough. As we have already seen from the beginning of the year, the amount of layoffs from last year, and it's already like blowing last year out of the water with how many companies are just, like, I don't know, imploding or just unmanaged or something. I don't know what's going on.
They're restructuring, and the problem I think that you ran into with these, once we get into the actual news themselves, I think the reason that we're seeing the amount of layoffs, because we normally see layoffs right around Christmas time. That's usually because that's the slow time for gaming and all that stuff right after Christmas, all the slow time and all that stuff. We see some layoffs, but it's just been crazy the last 2 years. And I think that part of this stems from people putting too many people to build these big games, and they held on to them longer than they normally would have because of 2020 being, you know, 4 years long. They held on to these people longer, and so now they're having to let them go. You know what I mean? Like, I really, because think of how many games got delayed because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so all those employees were there that entire time, and now they had to wait for their game to release to see if they could keep them or not. You know, one of the companies though that is interesting to me, so I'll start it off on this one, Until Dawn, which was a PlayStation 4 exclusive, Dark Pictures, they did an entire anthology that they've done with all these different games. I think they're saturating the market with their own stuff personally, but they supposedly have laid off 90 people from their staff. Of a staff of 350. That's 26% of their staff got laid off.
Good God.
And it was a possibility for 150 people to be laid off. So nearly half of their staff would have gotten laid off. So there's a mismanagement there somewhere. And maybe because they were saturating the market with their with that anthology series, might have been part of the deal too. So I don't know. I really don't know. The Quarry, I don't think it sold as well as they wanted it to. The Quarry looked good, though.
Yeah. I think I watched a bit of it. It was pretty good, for sure.
Yeah. So, but the Dark Pictures anthology and stuff like that, I felt like they kept releasing one every year. And I feel like that's kind of saturating the market with your product. I don't know for sure.
I gotta be honest. I guess because they're PlayStation exclusive, maybe I just wasn't paying that close of attention to them. But after Until Dawn, I didn't really know they released anything else because I wasn't paying attention. That's just me, yeah. though. But and maybe I'm not alone in that.
The Dark Picture Anthology series is on Steam.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That one's, and I think it's on Xbox as well. So the only one, Until Dawn, and I think the Quarry was on PC too. So Until Dawn was the only exclusive they had.
I guess it just
no, that's
wasn't...
not true. Because they did one, I think it was them that did another one. And I just looked up the title the other day because Griff, you and I had this conversation. It was one where it was a party game where everybody would be in the room together where they'd all be on their phones.
Oh, yeah. And it was like I don't a mystery remember what thing. You told me the name. That was like, honestly, that was like a month ago that you looked that up. I remember the conversation, but I don't remember the name of the thing.
Yeah. And so that was, I believe that was them as well. But it's like that again, that one didn't sell too well. So, you know, a lot of people like the Dark Picture Anthology series that they've done, but I don't think they're selling at the level that they thought they would to be able to keep all 350 people around. But the fact that they told them there's a chopping block of 150 people to start with.
Oh, and then one of 90 the comments seems like it might be. I'm just scrolling the comments here, which, by the way, now is on a separate page. Weird. But somebody said it feels like a bit like Telltale, where they got a lot of attention with an eye-catching hit early on and then just iterated on the same template over and over again with diminishing returns. I'd argue that, yeah, that might be what happened. It was it's not that the template's bad, but if you just give that over and over and over again in quick succession, like Oak was talking about, he felt like there was a new one every year, it's too much. You gotta let things simmer. Man.
I mean, it's an interesting way to do it. Unless they wanted to go about doing like an anthology series style where you go Dead by Daylight style and you lease villains and whatnot, and then you just tell a story with that villain, like a little Telltale style with Michael Myers or Jason or Freddy or things like that, because it's something that people can automatically attach to. And, you know, you get to play the story. You get to play one of the movies, something you're already familiar with. I mean, Dead by Daylight does it already with borrowing characters from every sort of horror anything. So having a Telltale series of, like, 5 episodes or something with a villain or a story you are already familiar with that you want to play, if I was in the story, I would survive that one. You know, you actually get to try it and see how it would play out. You could do that, but it kind of gets boring when you're just doing the same thing over and over again. Telltale did okay with it for the first 3 seasons of Walking Dead. It got a little weird for the 3rd season. Some of the choices weren't always like the best.
Well, and they weren't important to this because they already had pretty much a canned ending. Like they already knew what the ending was going to end up being on the 3rd one. So it didn't really matter. I don't know. I know that there's a difference in gameplay between some of the stuff in the Dark Pictures anthology. I feel like the Quarry is the exact same story, just a little different than what Until Dawn was. But I feel like Until Dawn and the Quarry were supposed to be their big main games, and then these others were supposed to be kind of filler games, not built in the same universe that I know of. The Dark Anthology part is built in its own universe, but I think Until Dawn and the Quarry were separate. So I don't know. I just feel like it's definitely, I think it was just oversaturation, because Until Dawn came out 2008. No, that's when they were founded, was 2008.
I don't know. I still haven't played it.
Until Dawn came out in 2015.
Okay, so 2015 is when that game came out. And I think there's 5 Dark
Anthology shows.
Yeah, Dark Picture Anthology.
I would Google it, but my mic picks up my keyboard way too well for me to try.
I got it. I think there's 5 of them right now, 4 of them right now. Man of Medan, Little Hope, House of Ashes, The Devil in Me.
Mm-hmm. So you got 4 of those right now, and then The Quarry. Since 2000, less than 10 years.
Yeah.
So every 2 years, there's a new one kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I guess
The first release was in 2019, and then they have done one every year till 2022.
That's why I felt like it was every year, because it was.
It was every 2019, 2020, 21, and 22.
Oak mentioned like oversaturation with stuff like that, because you're peppering in those little games. It's kind of like being like, all right, well, I'm going to go have dinner. Okay, here's your appetizer, but we're also going to bring you just a smattering of food all the way until your actual entree is ready. And then by the time your entree gets there, you're kind of like, well, I'm kind of done with this, though. Like, that's kind of what you're doing. You have to let that marinate and let that, like, want for another one build up. If you just keep giving people stuff and being like, don't forget about me, they're gonna get annoyed.
That's the reason when you have like a 7-course meal, it takes like 4 hours to eat it. They want to give you time in between to do so.
Well, and all of the courses are very, very small. You're not getting like a game. You're getting like a teaser trailer. Again, welcome to the best video game podcast about food. You're welcome.
Way to tie it in. I'm impressed.
I'm turning this into a food podcast on accident.
Yeah.
Whatever works.
Also, as I said the food thing and I looked over to read another comment and it says not to play the devil's advocate, but I read the devil's avocado because we're talking about food.
The devil's avocado.
Not to play the devil's avocado, but it's delicious. Also sounds like some sort of weird euphemism, the devil's avocado.
I just think it's weird that it's like last year we had a really good year of gaming and games, and it's like the next year it's like, oh, look, we're laying everyone off. Well,
it's because those games are done.
Yeah. Well, and some of the bigger games that were successful last year, Baldur's Gate, are not the ones laying people off. So.
It's because, like, to me, it started to feel like you have these closed doors companies and these open door companies where some of them hire a bunch of contractors to work, and then when they're done, they just fire them all. Where you have companies like Capcom and other ones, Larian, who are like closed doors, and Nintendo, who don't really lay people off. They, like, everybody inside the company stays part of the company. You're part of the company, like which is why it's easier to make games with companies like that. You come in, you already know the engine, you know the design philosophy of the company, you've worked on multiple versions of the games. It's like Larian, again, they did Divinity Original Sin, they're like, cool, all the same people are like, let's make Original Sin 2. Cool, it's a straight up improvement. All of those same people who have been working with the engine for so long are like, let's do Baldur's Gate 3, and they're like, all right, let's do it, and there you go. And all the people who have been working there know the company inside and out, have a lot of faith in the leader of that company, and this is what you get. Baldur's Gate 3. A critical hit.
Or you can just go the route that EA did and just put everybody in a bunker that was in the sports division. Because NCAA football has not been out since 2014, but it's coming out this year. Okay. So you know all those people have been living in a bunker all this time, about to starve to death, and here we are. That game is
that was a
out.
Good callback to like our 5-year-ago meme or something like that. Like the EA bunker. That's right. Finally, they get to emerge and see the light of day. We've been working on this game forever. Please be good. Don't make EA kill us or put us back in the bunker. It's so dark and musty.
I wonder how high the expectation is for like. Because if you think about it, Madden's the same fucking game, just reskinned for the next year, right? And it's like FIFA's the same thing. Their NHL games are the same way. Now you haven't dealt with NCAA since the Xbox 360. You know? So it's like, oh.
Did they have to make it on the Frostbite engine?
Yes, no. Actually. Do they not?
I don't think so.
I mean, I was just memeing.
You can look it up.
But
it might be.
I have no idea.
I'm curious, like, did they finally, like get around some kind of, like, settlement or something with the schools?
Yeah, so, they're paying them.
Well, they were already paying the schools to start with. The difference,
now they're paying the players.
No, the players have an option to be paid. It's up to them whether they choose to do it. They'll get $600 for their likeness to be in the game. Plus a free copy of the game.
Oh, that's the best part. How could you say no?
Plus a free copy of the game. If you choose not to do it, your likeness is not in the game. And somehow they're going to keep people from making custom rosters with those people on it.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they're going to really be able to do it.
Names or
I don't know how they're going to do that. The only thing I can figure out is like maybe like the two names together. You can't. But I mean, let's think about it this way. Like, if you, like, we have Jalen Milroe as our quarterback for here at the University of Alabama. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure Leyland Milroe is not going to be my quarterback if he chooses not to do that. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yes, like, well, you're not really going to stop people to frostbite. Do it.
It is the frostbite.
Oh, no, it's
engine.
Frostbite. People's hair is going to float off in the middle of the match. And
to be fair, the frostbite
engine... good on sports games.
I was going to say, the frostbite engine was designed for these... for these games.
That's good, because it obviously wasn't designed for the rest of them.
It took them, and then they started using it in Battlefield and Anthem and the rest of them, and you know.
Was it designed for sports games? Because sports people are always sweaty, and that's why it's always so shiny in Frostbite. That would make sense, actually. It's true! Every game that's in the Frostbite engine, everybody is kind of shiny. Like, they're just, there's a sheen on
them. They do. They are, there's like a gloss to everybody.
God. If you don't want the shine, turn off ray tracing. Jesus. No, I like my people shine. It feels more realistic.
It just makes it feel like everybody's, you know... I mean, I get it. Like, you're playing Mass Effect. Okay, fine. They're all running, and it's sweaty and stuff. But, like, just having a conversation. You could wipe that off a little bit. Or get an air conditioner. God forbid we're in the future. That's not the point. I'm sorry. That was a tangent. I have no... Like, my train of thought is, like, there's no rails anymore. It's just there, doing what it wants. Okay? I'm trying my best here. Anyway. What else? Other layoffs?
Well, yes. And to continue on the topic from last week, or not last week, the week before when we were talking about Embracer Group just having so many problems and some big changes are coming through. Well, last week we have found out that they have... Embracer is selling... Saber, what was their? Oh, it's just Saber Interactive, I guess, for $500 million. So they're dropping them off, selling them to someone else.
Well,
they it's
a private investor, evidently of some sort.
Oh yeah, someone privately just has $500 million.
Like, yeah, around. It's George Lucas. You don't know.
But it's like, it's going to be a private company. It's not going to be under anything else. So it's like, it's the whoever investment company's there, which makes me worry that like. Tencent is behind the scene just buying up all the Embracer shit.
Oh, please no.
That's what I'm worried about.
If you are right about that, because it's not the most unbelievable thing I would have heard today. If you're right about that, I'm going to be really sad.
Mm-hmm. Prepare for lots of microtransactions to progress in the Old Republic.
You want to go Sith? Next year, $10.
You want Revan's cool mask? Well, you give us $50.
You want the robes to go with that cool mask? That's another $50.
If you want a horse, it's 65, right? That's the standard now?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the going price for a digital pony.
Man, inflation has been crazy because like 15, less than 20 years ago, a horse was $5. God, and now it's $65? Holy shit, what are these people doing?
But then they've got to have more big boats and houses.
Yeah, they're going to run out of room for all their big boats and houses.
Nah. God.
Not if we don't have any place to live.
Yeah, they'll eminent domain the little people.
Yeah, I was about to say, they just start pushing the little people off of the land and into the ocean.
Which is unfortunate, because like, we're the little people. So
What's going to happen. They're going to go back to the old school, like lords of the castle with the entire group of peasants that live below them.
Oh,
and they're just
going to
have the castle, and everybody's going to be in there. And all the peasants are going to live down below in order to be able to survive. Guess what? You got to work for the lord.
Yeah, they're just going to put, like, walls around each county, and then you're going to have, like, one rich person per county across the country, and then everybody who lives in the county is going to be part of that person's domain. And then we get to start fighting each other for whatever
civil
reason.
Liberties.
Because the big rich people want us to take their people's stuff. And it's
Isn't
like,
this like the plot of a Star Wars game?
I was like, are we just going around in circles here?
No. No, it's not a Star Wars, unfortunately.
You know, it could be. Could be Baka. Maybe we're just writing their next game for this.
I would be down to do that if they give me a lightsaber. Then that'll be fine.
I mean, I saw somebody make an actual lightsaber, too. Like, a real one. I'm pretty sure you've seen that thing. It's like, they got it hooked up to, like, a tank and whatnot. That shit is, like, hot, molten hot, cuts through steel. But
the interesting thing about that chicken is, if you look into before the Disney takeover, the canon beforehand was the proto sabers had like a backpack container thing and a cable go to the lightsabers to make them run.
So we're Ghostbusters in space.
Oh my god.
I like that everybody's like, shut up. I don't want to hear from
you. Well, you said it and I'm like, that's terrible. And then I'm like, is it though? Can I have that game? Could somebody start a mock-up of that?
I mean, all you got to do is go to the Ghostbusters movie and take their little laser beams and like straighten them out and limited them and boom, you've got like ghost fighting lightsabers. Except these ones are like wet noodles. They just kind of flop around.
You just toss the trap out under the Sith Lord and there you go.
So what I'm getting out of this is Ghostbusters have flaccid versions of lightsabers.
Yes.
Exactly.
And then Star Wars, on the other hand, if you're there for a good time.
They were much more excited about their battles. All I can say, somebody out there, make it now. Like, do all the lightsaber battles in the Star Wars, but with flaccid lightsabers.
There are ghosts in both.
There
are ghosts in both.
Yeah.
It makes her so uncomfortable, and it's funny.
I know, right? All right, anyway. Fourth
ghost appears to try to give infinite wisdom. Ghostbuster comes up and slaps him with a wet noodle.
Yes.
Her expression right now is like, we've lost control. I'm done.
I never had control today. Like,
trailing this with lots of food.
All right, grabbing a steering wheel and turning back to Embracer Group. One of the other things that they are doing is they are selling or considering selling the Gearbox. Randy Pitchford told the company that they had three possible scenarios. Either they were going to go private, they weren't going to sell, or another company was going to buy them, and it looks like they're being bought by another. Well, the rumor is going around is that they're going to be bought by another company, which I think they're trying to sell, not to be mean, but we'll see how this conversation goes, but I think they're trying to sell before the Borderlands movie comes out, because I have a feeling that movie might hit them in their shares and like what their value is, because that movie kind of looks pretty
garbage, trash, dumpster bad. Fire. Oh my god, set it on fire.
Hey, we haven't got to that news part yet.
Look, man. Well, there's only so much restraint I have.
Yeah, the Borderlands trailer came out and it looks
garbage, dumpster fire, set it on fire, never look back. Yeah.
It looks as bad as what the first Sonic trailer looked.
You know, every time I watch Sonic these days, all I think about is either those people had the greatest marketing ploy in the history of marketing period, or those designers were actually truly noodle-brained.
So smooth. Like, so smooth.
Noodle-brained.
One of those two options. Either those people were noodle-brained, or that was a great marketing ploy, because that movie blew up.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be the same thing for Borderlands. I don't think that you can fix, you know, Kevin Hart and Kate Blanchett with some CGI, so.
Like, it's such a weird cast combination.
Here's the thing.
Especially what the characters are supposed to represent.
This was Pitchford going into a room and going, okay, let me get the biggest stars I possibly can. I like this guy, I like her, I like her, I like him, whatever, and try to put them all together. Where I feel like if you're going to do a true one of these, you have one star, that's it, and maybe make him the bad guy if you're going to do it. And then everybody else are kind of B-list celebrities that are really good actors. And then go in and do your stuff. The problem is this is all an ego show when it comes to Randy Pitchford.
It just is. It's Randy Pitchford going.
He redid the entire like, plot line and everything.
I'm a movie person. I'm a big director now. I'm going to hobnob with all of the famous people because it's where I belong. God, I hate that guy so much.
Like, I don't want to be too mean about it, but it feels like Randy Pitchford is like a Walmart version of Hideo Kojima. Like, Kojima is this madman when it comes to these art projects. And
great,
but
value,
he makes good
Kojima.
He makes good stuff. Nobody can deny that Kojima makes good projects.
Yeah.
But Pitchford thinks he makes great stuff, and like his quality has just gone downhill. But he thinks he's like up here at this level, and it's like, bro, you still down there, and you just aren't getting it.
I'm about to start crying. I'm laughing so hard about this.
You just aren't getting it. And he sees himself as this like giant, big-brained, genius, master artist. And it's like,
oh my God.
Bro, you are not. Just because you can speak to a couple of like really rich and famous people, don't mean you are anywhere near their level.
I would also argue that Kojima probably actually has more famous friends than he does.
Oh, 100%. That's why I think he's like a Walmart version. He's just, he's like, yeah, I can rub elbows with these people. And Kojima's like, I'm on stage with these people. Like,
what the fuck? And we actually go and have dinner. What are you doing?
Yeah, and we make sure that we pick up our phones or whatever it is.
Like, I'm not a big Hideo Kojima fan, but at the end of the day, this is like the best analogy.
It is. It really is.
Because it's one of those where I turn around, I'm like, okay, the dude's a fucking rock star. Like, Hideo is. Like, he is a rock star in the industry. I don't get it. I really don't. But it does not negate the fact that he is a rock star.
I'm right there with you. You know? He's eccentric, and he is wild, and his fucking creative visions are just
insane.
Are insane. I'm not gonna say they're like the pinnacle of God creation, but he makes good product. He's really out there. But I mean, as long as he stays at least in orbit, he's still fine. Usually folks like him tread too close to the sun and then
burn themselves,
you know, just burn themselves. And then they're like, yeah, it's almost like what happened to Randy Pitchford. He made Borderlands 1 and then Borderlands 2, and the motherfucker was like, I'm going to the sun, and just flew off and exploded. And it's like, bro.
I mean, he was already a lunatic, though.
I just now read this article, by the way.
Which one?
The one that is the Borderlands movie one. Did you read the story down here at the bottom? This character is played by actor Edgar Ramirez, who was in Zero Dark Thirty and The Bourne Ultimatum, and also in Jungle Cruise. According to Pitchford, when he was on set with Ramirez, he told the actor to imagine that you've got a dick made out of three machine guns when you're in the scene. That's his directing. That's how he directed the guy.
I hate Randy Pitchford. And I don't, like, hate is one of those things where it's like, I don't hate people. No, I hate that guy. Like, he's just such a garbage person. Ugh. The movie's going to be terrible. And to bring it back to what Chicken said earlier, Chicken and I were discussing that, and I'm the one that posited that. Like, I really do believe that Embracer's like, if we're going to sell this specific company, we got to sell them between the hype for the trailer coming out and the movie actually coming out, because once people know what it is, this is going to be terrible for us.
Their value will go down.
Yeah.
And they're trying to at least make some money or break even and sell it somewhere else.
I mean,
before it goes down.
The fact that you decided to take your, like, anything that has a successful story already behind it, and they're like, let's translate this to another medium, but you know what, let's not take any of the actual stuff that people liked about it, you know, from the story or anything, let's just take these characters and write a fan fiction. That's when you're starting to tread on not great ground right there. And it gets even worse when you're just absolutely like, fuck people, fuck whatever we did before, fuck you guys, you're getting what I'm giving you, and you're gonna like it or else. And it's like, it's not or else, Randy Pitchford. People are gonna hate it, and you're not gonna make any money off of it. That's the or else. It's not, we're gonna miss out on the Borderlands franchise.
Yeah, I think the people you're gonna have that are watch it, like speaking as somebody that doesn't know a whole lot about the franchise in general, just somebody that enjoys good movies, good action movies.
I'm gonna
tell
you right now all that you need to know.
I don't want to know. Hold on. Let me finish my statement, then you go back to it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing, is watching the trailer, I'm looking at it going, this is designed to bring people in the theater that have never seen the game, bring people into the theater that like dumb action movies. And I'm talking about the movies where you don't have, it's just sit back.
Hey, I've seen plenty of them too. So.
And just like, it's sad to me that I look at this and I say the Fast and Furious is a better set of movies than this is ever going to be. And I hate the Fast and Furious movies. And I understand that they're supposed to be dumb, fun movies. I just don't care for them. And you know, I know there's people that love the series and they'll sit down and watch them back to back to back to back to back. I am not one of those people. I just never got into it. But this is like, no. Just absolutely no. These actors signed up on this, not because Randy Pitcher was part of it, but because he put his money back behind it. Well, Embracer Group's back behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, Embracer Group's money behind it.
So
it's going to be hot trash.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't listen to it instead of watching it, but all the comments that I have read is that for a Borderlands-esque world, it's far too grounded.
Yeah, it's compared to
what Borderlands is. It's way too grounded.
But again, you're trying to appeal to, like Oak mentions every time we talk about stuff like this, you're trying to appeal to the people that haven't played the game, which gets... That's a difficult line to walk there, because you're automatically turning off a portion of your audience by disregarding the portion that does like the game. You know,
I think last year was a good signal for that, because Larian did not waver by trying to, and this is in video games, try to appeal to everybody. They were just focusing on their CRPG style, and it spread to everybody. Like, if you make something good enough in its for its audience, it will spread to everybody else. Like the Five Nights at Freddy's movie, it was designed and like made for people who are fans of Five Nights at Freddy's, and then it expanded from there. People who never even heard of it were like, hearing it's good, it's fun, it's not, you know, as scary as people thought. It's pretty good. Even if you're not a fan, know nothing about it, it still found you.
Okay. Well, but like, and Uncharted would have been similar to that too. Uncharted did really well at the theater.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of people. Of course, you had two big names that people knew that came in there. It was not the games. It was not the video games. But it was one of those where they, in my opinion, they did it the right way, in the fact that they were starting a cinematic universe, putting it to the side. That's what we're going to do. And let the games be their thing. But they also had that relationship that was between Nate and Sully.
I just wish that they could cast somebody other than Mark Wahlberg. I can't. I know, and that's the thing. Is like, I like Tom Holland, and I thought he was a perfect Nate. I really liked him as Nathan Drake. I just can't. Mark Wahlberg, I can't get past. I only see the man Mark Wahlberg, and none of his character, you know, none of his acting is anything to me. Like, I just can't. I wish I could. I wish they could cast somebody else, or I wish I could see him differently, but I can't.
I don't have a problem with him, but I get why you don't.
Yeah, I was fine with it.
No, everybody's got like those actors and actresses that they just, for whatever reason, they have a problem, and he is one of mine. I just can't get past watching him. He's the same in everything, every one of them. It's Mark Wahlberg. That's it. He doesn't have any characters. It's just Mark Wahlberg.
I mean, that's a lot of actors who, you know.
Adam Sandler, like, treads that line for me too.
Adam Sandler depends on the movie.
Yeah,
for me.
Because a lot of his characters are same, but...
Yeah, like I said, there's very specific actors who kind of bring the character into them instead of becoming the character.
I do wonder, like one of the original, with the bringing it back to Borderlands, one of the original things was, how are you casting Kevin Hart at the height of Kevin Hart's popularity as Roland, who is supposed to be one of the more grounded characters, and you cast, like, arguably the wildest person in the cast as the grounded character... So
he's the comic relief in everything he's in. And
but Roland's not supposed to be that.
Roland is supposed to be like the military guy. Like, he's more grounded, kind of soldier-esque,
yeah,
things like that.
I'm replaying the pre-sequel because I'm, you know, a weirdo. And one of the things that when you walk into the Moxie's bar and you see Roland and Lilith there, Jack says, Roland, the guy that's allergic to smiling, because he's not a jovial, fun guy. He's very business.
He's a soldier.
Yeah, I mean, period. So I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, are you trying to make Roland the comic relief that Tina was supposed to be? Because Tina does not seem wild enough.
In the game, she is an absolute
firecracker.
Wild card.
I'm going to throw this out there. This makes me wonder. Okay. Because if... Has everybody watched the newest Jumanji movies?
I saw the first one. I don't think I've watched the second one. Did we watch
okay.
I think I've watched
the think second of, one. Think know. Of the Rock and Kevin Hart's characters in that.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock's character is supposed to be like this big, burly dude that is. There's not a whole lot of comic relief in, where Kevin Hart, of course, he's the comic relief in every movie he's in, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they asked the Rock to play Rolling, and they were like, he was like, no. And they were like, well, we'll get the other guy from the Jumanji movie. Let's get him in there and do it.
Well, and they did get Jack Black as well, because he's Claptrap, which I think is fine.
It's sad that Jack Black's personality kind of...
Well, it's sad that they couldn't get the original Claptrap voice actor, but it's because Randy Pitchford and Gearbox were dicks to him, and they're still in legal battles. So,
yeah.
That also says something.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be Randy Pitchford decided to make a movie around Lilith because he's got a hard-on for her as a character, and he wrote fan fiction super hard to make her super cool, because the tagline or the synopsis of the movie is about her. You know, wild, mysterious siren outlaw returns to her home planet, and it's like, okay,
so we know where this is going. Knowing what I know about Borderlands, it seems like it's a weird story choice, but whatever. I don't have high hope for this. I think it's going to come out. People are going to watch it and go, wow, that was mediocre and not anything like the Borderlands. Whatever. It's okay.
Or people who are unfamiliar with it are going to watch it and be like, well, that was a thing that I just spent 2 hours on.
Well, it's going to make me wonder, the people that don't know anything about it, because like right now the big thing on TikTok and YouTube shorts and reels and all that stuff is panning the hell out of Madam Web being the worst movie that they've seen already this year.
What's the deal with that? I don't either.
But
I haven't watched it yet. Yeah,
they said the only saving grace of the entire thing was the cast, but they did what they could with the lines they were given essentially and within the work that was given. But
that's rough.
And then so it makes me wonder what these reviews are going to be like for the people that don't play the games.
Like, it's probably going to be a hot mess because with Pitchford involved, like we were talking about earlier, he's great value Kojima, which I will never unhear and will always think now. Thank you, Chicken.
No problem. Sometimes I can get those.
But he probably wrote in a bunch of stuff that he thought was very clever and super slick and smooth, and it's going to come across like a 60-year-old guy trying to write 20-year-old humor, you know?
Oh, God.
It's going to be awful because he's out of touch and he's writing from what he thinks is hilarious but trying to pander it towards a younger generation, and because he's still hip and cool and young. I just think it's gonna be a hot mess, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's also kind of disjointed, like hard to figure out what exactly you're supposed to get out of it by the end because of the I'm basing that on the characters they put in it. Lilith and Roland. Okay, so I guess we're going to develop their relationship, or maybe they'll start out in the relationship. Who knows? And then you've got Tina and Krieg. So there's theory in the Borderlands, you know, world that Krieg is Tina's dad. So I'm kind of wondering if they're going to focus on that father-daughter relationship and them and Tina finding out that that's her dad, if that's where they want to go with that. But then that's two stories that they've smushed together and also put Jamie Lee Curtis's Tannis in the middle of. I'm not really sure what we're doing here.
I don't know.
I think it's just gonna be...
base it off anything you know. You know that, right?
Yeah, like you can't.
Well, I'm taking the characters that they have and going, this is a possible story they can tell with them. I don't know how else you would stick them together, especially for those four. It's like that's a weird set.
I'm gonna say right now the fact that Kevin Hart is Roland, and based on your description of him, that you can't, you have to throw everything you know of those characters completely out the window and just know these look like the characters you
know. See, I hate that too. Like, I'm fine if you were gonna go like, okay, here's the cinematic universe versus the game universe. That's fine. But now we're like, here are some cardboard cutouts that we've taken from a game and we're using the same, you know, visual aesthetic, but we're not taking anything else. Throw that away.
It's an asset flip within the same company.
I think that is the
problem. Like with the Uncharted universe, Nathan Drake in the games is like Nathan Drake in the movies. Like you could see their personalities very similar, which is fine. It kind of lets you correlate between the two so you know what you're expecting. But if you're literally not going to respect the character and just take their name and completely redesign them for the movie, it's like, now what do I have? I love this character, but this thing that you gave us is not that character.
Pitchford's wrote his own fan fiction, is trying to bank off of the name recognition of Borderlands. So,
like, the combination of these characters, you have two characters from Borderlands 1, a DLC character from Borderlands 2, a side character from Borderlands 2, and another side character.
Borderlands 2.
Yeah. Like, you've got a DLC,
and Claptrap, two side characters,
and Claptrap, who was a main side character, into another main side character
into a playable character.
A playable character.
Yeah.
It's like, man, what a fucking combination. Like, what's going on in your head that you decided to just, like, pick and choose these random
pieces? Can I tell you how happy I am, though, that they did manage to not use two of my favorite characters? Like, thank you for not putting Handsome Jack and Axon in this movie. Thank you so much. Oh, don't worry.
They're going to be in the next
one. No.
They are.
100%. You're not going to have a choice. It's going to happen.
Well, okay, you say that, but you're assuming that they can make enough off of this to justify making a second one.
Pitchford will find money, and I'll give it to him. He's a little charismatic, and he can talk to the right people to get enough, to scam enough people into his vision. Where, like, Kojima does the same thing. Like, that motherfucker is like, look at this. I'm going to show you this crazy-ass trailer, and you people are going to buy into it.
He on his vision.
I mean, yeah, Kojima, and Kojima's not gonna hide from you how insane it is either. He's like, I got this crazy idea, and you're like, yep, that's
you're
crazy.
Find
it reminds me.
In it. And it's like, okay.
Show me more.
Pitchford, what else you got? Pitchford reminds me of another charismatic character that's in our country that people...
Oh, no,
it doesn't matter how many times the man fails.
You just did that.
You're not wrong. Sometimes
somebody is going to support that particular person, and that is Pitchford. That is what's going to happen. So the man could fail completely on this movie, and he's going to have somebody that's going to be able to support him for the second one. Because he's going to go, you know what he's going to do? He's going to throw the director under the bus. He's going to throw the cast under the bus. He's going to do something to where it saves him.
He's going to throw the gamers under the bus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are judging it on something that wasn't yours to start with.
Yep, he will sell the second movie on Handsome Jack. Everybody loves Handsome Jack. We're gonna bring him into the second movie. We're gonna reinvigorate it. It's gonna be great. Like, that is what he's gonna sell for the second movie.
You made you made a great game series until 3. Pre-sequel questionable.
Okay,
but
Borderlands 1 was unbelievable good. Like, holy shit, for 2008, the era of 4-player co-op games, that game was God tier. Borderlands 2, oh my god, what a true brilliant sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Borderlands pre-sequel,
okay, now y'all are messing with the timeline, and you didn't understand things.
You literally stepped backwards both in the timeline and quality, and
you could argue
Borderlands 3,
you could argue with the pre-sequel that it was the pre-sequel to the pre-sequel was the pre-sequel to what is currently going on right now with this movie, in the fact that it was him trying to go, I don't really like what happened in 2, even though a lot of people like the game, and I need to rewrite the story in some way, but then it doesn't make sense, right?
But then you left out fan favorites like Brick and Mordecai as like the player characters. Like, you put in 2 player characters from the first game, but not the other 2 player characters from the first game. Why not? Like, Brick was amazing.
Loved, like, you could have gotten, like, shit, what's his name? Oh my god, I'm terrible with names. But you need, like, a really, really big, muscly guy to play Brick, and I can't remember his name.
The guy from Guardians of the Galaxy that played the Oblivious dude? Oh, who is that? Yeah. Okay, you're Googling
Guardians
now.
Of the Galaxy.
No, I'm not.
The
Guardians
Baptista?
Of the Galaxy. The Oblivious guy who has
the guy that was a wrestler.
Yeah,
Dave Bautista.
Is that his name?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, you could get him to play Brick because he's big enough and just like nothing but muscle. And Brick is like this.
Brick very short though.
Brick, no, that was Brick was the tallest one. Like, that motherfucker was.
Yeah, you're thinking Salvador from 2, the Gunzerker.
Yeah, Salvador from 2, who is the short Gunzerker. Yeah, like, you could get Bautista to play Brick, and like it would fit perfectly. Dude is nothing but muscle and madness.
And yeah, Batista's 6'3 in real life.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Perfect. Like, that. Like, you could get him to play this just muscle madhouse of a
monster. And he was a fun character, too.
Yeah.
Like,
he's fun. He's down to earth.
All the playable characters that they've had so far have been pretty good.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, it's just... Well... I guess in 1 and 2, the pre-sequel, some of those characters, like the Baroness, was kind of eh.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they go up, and then drop, and then it just kind of goes. They peaked at Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
But then they've just done nothing but gone downhill.
Yeah.
It's like they really did go back down the mountain and then cut off and go down. It's like, yay, back down, and there we go.
We really
all right, we've sat here just ripping on Borderlands.
I'm sorry.
The last 25 minutes.
I get too invested in games and characters and worlds and stuff, and okay, some of that's my fault.
We're all invested in this. This is kind of the podcast. We spend hours.
Well, I know, but I mean, like, I get really like wrapped up in the characters, and I'm like personally offended that this Borderlands movie is destroying everything about the franchise.
Well, to be fair, we have been watching the whole the industry as a whole kind of start collapsing in these different pockets. It's like, okay, guys, pick up your shit. Let's not let the video game sector just shit itself everywhere.
Too late.
Embracer Group made some terrible fucking choices, spent money they didn't have. Now they're selling off companies.
Sony's laying off people.
Sony's laying off people. Microsoft's laying off people. Like, everybody is just kind of collapsing. Games are so expensive to make. We hire contractors and then fire contractors. I don't know.
It's not really fire them. I feel like with the contractor thing, it's the industry like taps contractors, and then once they're done with their part of the game, they're on to the next project. It's not like, you know, hiring them into a studio where they will be working on this forever. Like, because even Ollie does stuff where he'll work on, you know, he'll get tapped to work on a project, and then later that project may come back to him for something else to do with that, or it may be for something else that they're working on, but he's not employed directly with one of the companies. You know, it just seems like that is kind of
freelance.
Becoming part of the course. I wonder if he would
prefer, I'm interested to know, and Ollie, you can let me know. Would you rather have like a steady company that you work for constantly? Like, you have a company that you work for, period. They go to you for projects, they set you up, you're always working, you know, you can work from home, things like that. And would you rather have a company that you constantly work for? And maybe you work for the different studios inside that company. Like, if you work for Microsoft, they send you to different studios to help different things with different parts of their project. Or would you rather just kind of be like, all right, I take a contract from EA, I take a contract from Microsoft, working with whoever, whenever? Let me know. I'm interested to see.
Anybody else that does freelance work like that, like, is that your preference? Or because I can see the appeal of freelance too, because you're not worried about Sony's going to lay all these people off. They're like, yeah, well, Sony tapped me for this project, but I'm off to working with somebody else already. I don't have to worry about the layoffs.
I think that's advantage of one of the things that the movie industry has done over the years. Like, we recently in 2023 experienced a writer strike, as well as having an actor strike too, is that they have unions to help them out. And they are not specific. Like, it used to be, what used to have back in the day is actor, we'll say John Smith had a 5-movie contract with, Universal Studios or something, right? And so they had to guarantee that they were going to do 5 movies with them, and they couldn't work with anybody else. TV shows used to work that way. You were in contract for TV. Because you were in contract with TV, you couldn't go do a movie because you had to be available for the TV.
Okay.
But because of the way the unions negotiated everything, it allowed them to be able to go work, get jobs other places because they were part of that union. Now, it works similarly for, I've got a friend that's in the television side of it, and the way it works for them is they have unions based on what your job is. So you're an FX person, or you are what they call buyers, which are the people that go out and try to find, like you're trying to set something up that's in the 1960s. That person's job is to go find things that would fit in a room that look like it's from the 1960s. And then you have people that, of course, building the sets and doing all that. They're all part of unions. And that way they're not out of work, and they're not necessarily working for Netflix or Apple or anybody like that. They're working for the union, and the company has hired the union to to fill the spots. And so I feel like that's where the game industry needs to go. So you have thousands.
I think that's kind of how Ollie's stuff works, because he has like a manager that he's similar. Yeah, I think it's something. I don't know. Ollie, explain to us Ollie, how your stuff works.
Phyllis, do you have somebody? Do you have a manager, somebody above you that sends you projects and you work with, and they're the ones who get you contracts?
Ollie doesn't live in America, and
that's another second question.
Ollie doesn't live in America, and America dislikes unions.
We got lots of unions, though.
We have a
different kind of.
But how many places here have been trying to get unionized or things like that, and it's a fight.
It's always a fight.
It's always going to be a fight. And it's because there's good and bad with unions. It's just kind of a matter of, because it can hurt the workplace as much as it can help the workplace. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have people, when people get in power, people get overpowered. So when they're the head of a union, they can possibly lose their brain as well and do what benefits them best too.
You know that phrase, power corrupts? It doesn't matter what kind of power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you could watch HOAs with like some random fucking people in charge of a few houses in a neighborhood, and those motherfuckers think they're goddamn gods. It's like, okay, you get a little power and it literally goes to your head. Now you're yelling at me because my grass is too long. Back up. What the fuck, man? I will cut my grass on the weekend. Go away.
Well, and I think
messes with people.
And I think that's where if the industry can do it the right way and set it up to where we go, okay, like, and it could be separate unions, right? You have a union for the artists, you have a union for you know, your
programming,
the actual mechanical design of the game, things like that, have different ones set up. So now there's a tier system built into most unions. So you've been doing this for a long time, you've worked on such and such games, your value is higher, so therefore you get paid more based on that, but you get a union standard too. So now if you're a gaming company, this is how it would benefit the gaming company. So you're a AAA gaming company, and you go in and you say, okay, we need this director to come. We want this director to come in, and he needs to hire his team. So he goes in and hires his team. He already knows what his budget is, and he can budget his employees based that on that because there's a union standard for value. So he can already set that up versus... You know, but now it can cause a problem with crunch because of that too. So I don't know what you do in that particular case.
Well, I think it's also interesting. Like, if you could create these unions big enough and with enough people with experiences across the board, people like EA be like, hey, we're having trouble with this. We need to hire some developers who work with the Frostbite engine. Do you have a few that we could rent to come help us with our problems? Cool. We've got that. Set up a contract. We send over engineers who are very well versed with that engine. And cool, they become more experienced. They bring it back. They train other people on the different engines so that, you know, they can help whoever, wherever, whenever across the industry if they need help with those games. And the company's not buying or like hiring them permanently. They're just bringing them in like emergency assets, and then they go back to the unions, and then they can go somewhere else wherever they need. Like, it would give companies a place to where they could, I know it's a weird term, rent people.
But you gotta rent them.
Then you don't have to worry about layoffs. He's and things like that. Like, they're still safe.
Let me throw the ball at you.
I mean, they come and help you, and then they go back to their union. Like, no problem.
It's like Power World. They come and help you kill this thing, and then they go back to chopping trees.
Yeah,
well, it also like gives you an idea too, because like I know at least with movie and television production, there's a timeline that's set up. Mm-hmm. So they set that timeline up and they said, okay, based on the people that we have, so the talent that we have, based on everybody that's part of that's having to build the different sets and do all that type of stuff, we know this particular filming for this season is going to take, we'll say, 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. And at the very beginning, before everything starts, you might have all the accountants and everything come in and the people ordering all the stuff. Then you bring your cast in and your writers and all that type of stuff. And then you move on through. And then at the end, you just have all the accountants working again. Mm-hmm. So the accountants might work 8 months, but everybody else works 6.
Yeah.
And then, but that gives you a timeline on how long everything's going to take to go. And now your cast that's, you know, doing everything goes, okay, I know I have this, 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 and this going on. I'm not available for 3 months or whatever it takes to do your voice work. And then let me move on to the next job. They're already part of a union anyway, so they can figure that part of it out. And then you have everybody else going, all right, hello, dear. I just got home from work. It looks like I've got 2 months more worth of work. I know when I'm getting off work.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see you again in 2 months. Bye, family.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that can be done to fix all of these, and this all goes back to all of these problems in the gaming industry that is just like collapsing.
This is also us as people who are outside of the actual industry spitballing ideas on something that we don't actually know how it works. So
I mean, Ollie could be like,
y'all are idiots. This is not at all.
Well, so, this Phyllis and Ollie, let us know at least some general idea of how it works. Do you have a group of programmers or artists that you work with? Do you have somebody that gives you jobs? Do you go to companies?
When
does
I
companies
post
come
this tomorrow,
to you?
I'm just going to at him and be like, hey, Ollie, you are required to listen to this week's show because we need answers because I think we're dumbasses.
I'm
could
super
you help,
interested
please?
To see. I mean, if I stream on Monday, I'll hit him up and like get him to tell me. As long it'll be after he gets his 7-Eleven snack.
Yep. You got to go get them buns.
Yeah, you know Ollie likes his buns.
I love
buns.
Ollie.
His practical proof
I'm
of
not
that.
Gonna lie. I love him so much. Now you know you loved Ollie. Move over to the
yes.
U.S. Let's
we'll make a pit stop when we go to Japan to stop in the Philippines, or we'll meet you in Japan.
Yeah, you can come over and hang out with us. We'll all go on vacation together. Why not?
He's gonna be big swole by then.
He's a gym day all day, every day.
Yes.
Him and Red's going to the gym too now. They can go to the gym together while we're in Japan.
But yeah, there's a lot of problems going on in the gaming industry these days. It's a little worrisome, but we'll see how it goes as the years go on.
Well, let's talk about, now that we're an hour into the show, things that we did this week, 2 weeks, recently.
I didn't do shit this week. I slept for 7 days, or 14 days.
That's not true. I'm kidding. You did not.
He could have. You don't know. Well, you would have known. Oh, well. He slept most of the time. I played some more of the Deep Rock Survivor. It's getting harder, which I like. Been doing it. And then I picked up a game called... I put it on my wish list as soon as I saw it. Rockstar Simulator.
Oh,
because
my God.
I have done... The gas station ones. I've done like different simulators like that. They're always fun and quirky, right? So I was like, I'm gonna try this one out, just see what it's like. So I went ahead and bought it
for the $2 that it probably costs.
It was like $10, yeah. So we got it, and then I get in and it's like, okay, you got to make a song. Well, the song you're using at first, it's just A and D that you use to be able to do. So think Rock Band, right? Or Guitar Hero, where you had an actual guitar in your hand of some sort, right?
Yes.
A plastic guitar with buttons on it. You're using just those buttons, A and D, to be able to write the music. You have to write the music first. Then you name the piece. And to me, just so I can keep up with it, I'm putting like, based on the order of what I'm did it on, like, so the first one I put it like first seed, and the second one was like second street, and
oh my god,
I keep track of which one I wrote it in which order. I went to a bar and I talked to somebody at the bar. Now,
I assume this is still in game because could
this
go
is all in game. I mean, that's fair, I do go to bars and talk to people, but. I talked to this chick at a bar. Okay. I was not expecting this game to have AI in it.
Okay.
You could tell them anything you wanted and they will respond to it. You
Ooh,
just
I don't like
type
that.
In. And it is creepy on what level that you could do it. I've tried it out. Trust me, you can have some fun with it. But it's one of those where, like, because in the game, I put myself as Oak Tree, right?
Mm.
And so when you go up to the person, it just says, instead of talk, it says flirt, to hit the button to flirt. So you go in and you talk to the person. So I went in and talked to the person. And so I was talking, and like, they've got a meter to tell you how far along, like percentage wise, that they're friends with you. And then things like that. It's similar to a lot of games that have dating sim part of it, right?
Yeah.
So here's my favorite. You get up to the point to where they'll actually accept if you try to ask them out. And they immediately go to your house. Like, I don't know what kind of person this is at the end of the day, but they now live with you. When
oh
you
my
ask
God.
Them.
They moved like, in. They live your that house. Is a red flag.
Can you get a bunch of people to live in your house?
I'm working on that, sir.
Oh,
I'm
you got
to
like
see
a
how
harem.
Far I can take this game.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
I am a rock star at the end of the day. You got to do what you got to do. All right. So I get to the house and I'm having a conversation. And I'm not kidding. Like, I'm trying to, like, go to a little sexy town on the game just to see what it'll do.
Oh, yeah. That's
her
that's
responses.
What we all
you gotta
say.
Remember,
we just
in the
see
game, my name is Oak Tree. She starts using tree puns to talk about parts of her and me.
Ew.
The AI did this. I'm like, I don't know how well trained this shit is, but this is creeping me the fuck out. Like the fact that this, like the flirting conversation back and forth, this is where we currently are with AI. But I was like, oh my God.
That's wild.
It is nuts. It is absolutely nuts. Some of the conversations you can have. Cause I was just like, this is insane. Like one of them was, I told her that I liked her butt or something, like just to see how far I could go on that. But we had just been talking about like, I'll write her a song or something like that. And then she goes, oh, so you could make it. And it was like a pun for the name of the song with the word moon in it. And I'm like,
boo, get off the stage.
I was like, holy shit. Like, but I mean, still the fact that the AI like had come up with this entire line to be able to tell was insane to me. And I'm like, okay, is voice acting even going to be a thing at some point?
No.
If people,
I mean, like
voice acting is going to be dead eventually.
So like, unfortunately, writing it all be ChatGPT shit.
It will, because AI is getting smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter, and eventually it's going to be a lot better at creating. Like, you're going to be hands off making games in about 20
You'll
years.
Write a synopsis. Write me a CRPG about mind flayers and people that need
make
to be
me a sequel to Borderlands or Borderlands. Make me a true sequel to Borderlands 3, or rewrite Borderlands 3.
It probably
rewrite
could.
Borderlands 1 and then go from there, and then you get a modernized
Borderlands
version
1 is
of
good.
It.
Borderlands 2 is even better. Borderlands 3, ugh, pre-sequel, eh. And since all the entirety of human information is on the internet, like once it gets online, we have what is it, Skynet? It's the end of the world as we know it. It's going to deem us unfit to live on this planet. And
rewrite me a game on Borderlands 1 based on the movie. That's what you have
to do. Oh, God. And then the computer just fries. Hey, that's a good way to end Skynet.
There you go.
Oh, God. Well, we've played a lot of stuff recently, but last night, the Steam or Valve or whatever is responsible for normally not letting Chicken and I play Left 4 Dead together was like, all right, fine, play. So me and Chicken and City and Century played Left 4 Dead last night. And we'd all, like, Chicken and I had a couple of drinks and things, and we're just looking to chill. It's the end of the night. It was like midnight almost. And so
it was about 10:45 when we started. Okay.
Yeah. So we load up. It lets us load into the game. And we're all like, yeah, ha, funny. This is funny. Within like, I don't know, 10, 20 minutes of getting into the first part of the level, everybody's dead.
It was approximately 10 minutes. Like
Chicken's
5
like,
to 10 minutes.
Am I really going to have to put on my big boy pants tonight? Right now?
He's like,
all right, we're going left. Everybody do this. You do that. Stop touching that. Don't do that. I'm like, oh my God, he turned back on raid lead mode. It was really hard.
Because, like, I was definitely feeling it last night. It was 11 o'clock. I was drinking since, like, 7. I was, like, feeling good. And we walked out of the opening door, and we nearly wiped right out of the gate. And I'm just like, it is way too late for this
really
shit.
Really funny though.
All right, time to put on the fucking leader face. Here we go. And then we just cleared it. We went all the way back, and then got
I mean,
all the
we
way
still
back.
Had some okay. struggles. It's not like it was easy.
No, I knew we were gonna have struggles, but we didn't wipe again.
No, it was just really funny because we're like, we'll just fuck around in that. Oh God, we're not as good as we used to be.
It's because I wasn't trying. I thought that I could rely on my three teammates, but.
Hey,
you guys really
I
let
was
me
the
down
last
on that
one standing. Thank you.
You would think from playing Lethal Company that you know good and well you can't depend on us for most of this.
We played Lethal Company too, and I finally got to have a freaking clutch hero moment. It was so great.
We were so proud of you for that moment.
I'm pretty bad at that game most of the time, because I'm loud and I'm obnoxious, and that's one of those games where things hear you and you can't move too fast or whatever. But yeah, Chicken died, and I went back, and I was like, I'm gonna go back and get his stuff, because he had left a bunch of stuff out the front, so I'd made one trip back, came back with his stuff, went back to get him, and there was, like, a jar of pickles, and I thought it was gonna take both hands and his body, and I was like, the pickles? Or his body? And then I realized I could pick up both. Man, the bridge fell while I was on the way over, there was a big stompy giant, I made it back with the body and the pickles! I did it!
Oh my God.
I did it! Nailed it!
I think Baka so died much fun.
The giant on that one. There was one that he died on the giant on the way through. And I dodged the giant. But then I was pretty much on the camera the rest of the night because once we had the walkie talkies,
yeah.
It was me and Chicken communicating the whole time. He's like, all right, what do I got? All right, you got this, this, and this.
God, and every fucking quarter I turned was a goddamn turret. Every quarter. My
God, that one was awful. And the problem is because of the graphics and the fact they used a lowercase, sometimes it's very difficult to see.
Yeah, you can't tell what the letter is.
What it is. I like typed in three different things on one of the turrets and it was none of them.
Yeah. Especially, I think it's like J and I because they're both lowercase and the graphics, it kind of cuts off the bottom part of the J. So it's like, you could go either way. What letter are you?
Oh man, it's rough.
Oh, it was so fun though.
Oh yeah.
So fun. My favorite one, because with that one, it's like it's a lot of other games where as soon as you die, it, put you in spectate mode for whoever was closest to you, usually. There was one map where we walked in, I was right behind Baka, we had just started the day, walked in the front door, turned to the right, and we're walking down this hallway, and I literally have no idea what killed me. I do not know. He was right in front of me, and then all of a sudden my screen was black and I was dead, and I was in the afterlife screen. And Baka's just walking along and had, I think he had like a shovel or something in his hand. He's walking along and then he's like, hey, here's a jug. And he turns around, he's like, Griff? And I've been dead for like a good 2 minutes by then. I was just like, he didn't even know. I've been talking the whole time. I was so chatty and then I was dead.
I didn't hear anything. Like, I was just like, well, she went back or something.
I wish I knew what killed me. I wish it might I knew.
Have, oh, I guess. Was your body still there?
No.
Then the Bracken got her.
I didn't even see it. No, because the Bracken you can hear walking up. He makes a noise when he walks. Sometimes.
I've seen him just like, when he got me, I saw him way up there, and I scared him back, and I came into the room, and I came back in, and that motherfucker was right there around the corner, snatched me instantly, and drug me away. You and Kat were right behind me, and that's when he just like, I was gone in a fucking heartbeat.
Our first game out there. Friday night was awful.
Yeah.
Because like, we went through and I think we had, I don't know, like 60, 80, something like that on the ship already. Because it was a save game. And then,
it was 707.
We ended up getting as much as we could and ended up killing people on the ship because bodies are worth five to see if we get close. If I had killed Baka or Baka had killed me and we put it up there, we'd still be 2 points shy.
$2
and there was
short.
A duck on the ship we could not do anything with.
We sold keys and they didn't count for money. They said they have three value.
And they didn't.
We sold
they were worthless.
Didn't get any money. I was so upset.
Our next set of rounds, though, was good, though. We did good on keeping the numbers up, doing what we needed to for it, and then the we got enough shovels because they were on sale.
Hell yeah. I bought all the shovels.
Everybody was
doing
the ship had like
shovels.
20 shovels on it. We don't even need that many, ever.
We're going to need it. It's going to happen.
Yeah, Baka killed me one time.
Well, I'm convinced that the Bracken is a good thing and it just wants to be friends with people, but it's shy.
Yeah, that's why he kidnaps you and drags you off to the fucking bitter areas.
I don't hate
never
him.
Get found again.
I love the Bracken.
Well,
that's
then
why
we
you
have...
gotta scare him, gotta go boo, and then look away.
We had it to where we were playing the game and I think it was we landed on one of the desert planets, whatever, where the big dogs are at. Chicken immediately dies.
That was a sandworm.
Was a sandworm?
Because I ran right up there to get the stuff out of the little the chest tree that was coming down. Yeah, and I ran up there and it was like, I don't know, 2 feet from where I stopped running and I heard it rumble and I was like, oh, and died instantly. Like it just came right up out of the ground.
Well,
and like,
we landed on a dog at the same place because you drop the thing and then we go up to the get it and then there's... I end up seeing the dog again as I'm trying to head back to our ship because the whole thing was eclipsed. Like, it was awful. Like, some of the drops we had were just awful.
That same one where Chicken had gotten eaten by the sandworm, I was going to go back to one of the doors or something, and I climbed up this ladder that went straight up to this little, like, bluff, platform. I guess, because it's rock formations. And I got up to the top, and I heard something, and I was like, what the fuck is that sound? And then the sandworm came up from the side and just, like, straight up and over me. Like, I watched it like it was Free Willy or something, and disappeared over the horizon, and I was like, well, that's, I'm gonna need some new spacesuit now. That was close.
It's got an auto-dumping feature. So don't worry.
She just talked about that. And I died like on the next time we were on that damn level. I had the apparatus in my hand and I'm carrying it in front of her corner. And then, and like she was saying earlier, it shoots to the person closest to you, and it was her. And so I see what she sees, which is the freaking sandworm shooting over the top of the air. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, now I get it now. Now I understand my dead body.
There he goes. Flying off again.
And she's like, Oak. I think Oak got ate by the sandworm. Yes.
Oh, man.
If you're going to play that game, you have to play it with in-game audio. Like, yeah. It's so, so important to play with in-game
it's
audio.
It's so fun.
And one of the things we found out for those people that are wanting to play the game, it is so fun to be able to teleport people.
Because you can teleport bodies back to the ship, so you get credit for them.
But if one of your friends is holding a bunch of stuff, plus holding one of your other friends, and you decide to teleport the friend that's in the hands.
Yeah, the dead friend.
The dead friend. It will literally take everything out of the other person's pockets.
Yes, and they're gone. Destroy them. Yes.
Yes. So, I had a shovel, two keys, and
don't worry, we had plenty of shovels. Who cares about the shovel?
We had two keys, and they took, like, they took Cat's body, like, teleported out of my arms, and then I heard the little jangles of, like, equipment, and I was like, oh, all of my stuff's gone. Maybe it took it with her. And I looked on the ground, and there was nothing on the ground, and I ran back to the ship. I see Cat's body, and I was like, well, okay, all that stuff is gone. No more teleporting people out of hands now.
It was
still funny. What'd you do? Like, you never did really say what happened when it happened in your hands. You know what happened,
Well, it sparkles, so you know they're getting
sparkles. Like, I was literally outside of the ship.
We thought you were further away.
I was literally right outside the ship, and you guys were talking, and I was hearing, and I was like, oh, this is funny. I wonder what's gonna happen. And then it started doing the little teleporty thing, and then it just, and then I heard jingle jangle, and I was like, oh, everything's gone. Okay, well, that's not good.
There was one point, too, like, this is, again, Chicken and teammates and instruction. Bak and I were dead. Cat and Oak were on the ship, and Chicken was going to go try to get something or something. I don't remember exactly what was happening. Teleport me back in 15 seconds.
No, and he goes, that's not what off he said. The
thing. That is what I said when I said I'm going to lure it away. It didn't follow me that time. But yeah, I fell off the fucking cliffside. Yeah,
he falls off into the water. And he's got a shovel that he's just hitting the wall with because he can't do anything. And nobody's like, Cat and Oak are crouched down in the ship trying not to get caught by whatever's outside. And I was like, finally, I put in Discord because Chicken was going to just stand there and drown. I was like, oh my God, teleport him in Discord so that somebody would pull him back to the ship.
I didn't hear the 15 seconds. What I heard was, I'm going to lure him away, teleport him back. So I was waiting for the red dot to be near you, and then I was going to click it. Well, of course, then somebody else was running back
it,
up.
It was either Baka or Cat who was coming
back. Well,
Baka
and I
up.
Were dead because we were talking about it together.
In. Yeah. And they were running back up. And as they were running back up, I was like, I heard it outside and I was like, okay. And then she pops out in the chat and I was like, okay, click and hit the button then. But I was like, wow. Okay.
It was so funny watching that because Baka and I are like, are they going to let him drown? Is he drowning? And at one point, I'm like, Bak, are you sure he's in water? Because you can't really tell in the
I wasn't. I was in the water. Like, I slid down, and then there was, like, a little piece that I was standing on, and I was like, I guess I'll just live here now.
Oh, man. That game is so
favorite,
funny.
My favorite round of all of it. Okay. It was the first day. The quota was 130. Nuggie came out of his room and was like, I gotta go potty. I was like, all right, I will be right back. It was right before we landed. So we were going down, and I was like, all right, I'll be right back before we get started. So I went and let him go to the bathroom, and then I put him back in his room. And I come back, and I'm just standing there behind it, and I see, I think it was Kat and maybe Baka standing mm-hmm. there. And I was like, what are we doing? And I look on the other side of the thing, and there are two dead bodies right there. And I was like, what? I've been gone for like 30 seconds.
That's the one where you opened the door and there was a dog standing there, wasn't that?
Yeah. Because Ron was like, oh, and went back.
So I was like, is everybody dead? Are they dead? And like, okay. I was like, well, I was like, we're not going to leave empty-handed. So I went to the damn place by myself, got $142 worth of scrap and brought it back solo, and then we left. I was like,
we had the one we had the one where we open up the door, and as we do, Baka has a tendency to go whatever direction he wants to, and then we all go the direction
motherfucker
together.
Just boom.
Yeah.
He runs out. Well, I'm still on the ship, and everybody goes one direction, and I'm flipping through everybody on the camera, and Baka's just, you know, because it just shows him sitting still, and I was like, oh, he's dead. And I was like, he had to gone straight out. So I went out, and sure enough, there was, his stuff was sitting there, and I was like, I wonder if the bees got him, because I'd heard bees earlier. And then I go running back inside with his stuff, and I'm like, you're messaging me, and I'm like, I had to get Baka's stuff. I'll be right back. I had to go get it.
Yeah,
get back
I remember over. That.
You're talking to me again. And then I closed the door behind me. Closed the door behind me. We're doing really good. And then I go in and I'm like, okay, I hear the bees outside again. Well, the doors open again after a period of time. So they open back up. I went to close the door. And when I did, I'm just dead laying there. And you all.
I remember that because I was like, all right, you're like, I need. Close the door or something, and then I was like, okay, and I just kept talking to him, and he never responded to me again. I was like, well, let's hello. Oh shit, he's probably dead on the ship. Well, now I'm SOL.
Yeah. Cat got killed by the bees. I can't remember what happened to Griff, and then you nearly got killed by the bees.
I remember that one level where we went up over the cliff and then climbed down, and there was that little bee treasure right there. Griff was right behind me when I slid off of it, and the bees hit me immediately and nearly killed me. I was critical damage, and then Griff just sitting behind me screaming. I was like, oh God.
I'm always screaming inside.
We made it inside, so
we did make it inside.
And I didn't die that whole round.
There were three of us critically injured by the time we got to the door.
Yep. I was like, hey, this is a great way to start.
I think all three of us made it back to the ship, too.
Yeah, I think so.
And if y'all are wondering, because I know Lethal Company is a 1-4 game, we play with a mod that will let you have up to 32 people in a lobby. Not that we have 32 friends amongst all of us put together, but you could. So if you're like, but my friend group is a little larger, still buy the game. The mod's free. Play it. It's so fun. I think it's better with more people. Like, I feel like that one is definitely a more the merrier game. Definitely ups your chances for success also, because
it'll push you along. Yeah, more body. It'll definitely push you along a little better too, because you can get more treasure or have runners and things like that.
It's so fun. I
think it's nice having the fifth person being able to be inside and kind of give direction mm-hmm. and turn stuff off and on and things like that.
Five plus, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes. Yeah.
I just, yeah, it's so fun. And we also played, this one's just a little short story. We played up for the first time in a long time, and it was me and Red, it was me and Kat and Chicken, and we were playing, we haven't played since they added spaghetti or pasta, but it's, the starter pasta is spaghetti, and then it adds out cards from there. Okay, so we're like, we'll do that. We've got our little restaurant set up, and Kat and I are in the kitchen, and Chicken is out doing the running thing. But the problem, and I really am mad at the people who make this game, is with spaghetti. I don't know if you've ever made spaghetti or not. It's pretty basic as far as, you know, what you have to do.
Boil water, put noodles in.
You put water in the pot, you put the spaghetti in with it, you boil it in the context of the game. In real life, you'd boil the water and then put the spaghetti in. But whatever. You put the spaghetti in the water, you put it on the thing, it boils. Then you have to dump the water out so that you can get to the spaghetti noodles. In real life, you dump that in a sink and it's gone, and who cares? In the game, you dump the water into the trash can. Which is, don't do that.
You have all these moist bags filled with like hot water, hot noodle water.
Well, and the starter trash can will let you throw away two items, and then it has to be thrown out into the main trash can, which is outside the restaurant. So you have to have somebody pick up the trash bag and take it out. So the problem is, every spaghetti pot that you make is only two servings. So for you to have, like, if you have your first two tables come in and it's two tables of two, that's four people, so you need four spaghettis, you've already filled up your trash can. We did not get in our cards an upgrade or a trash can to upgrade. Like, we didn't get any options for secondary trash cans forever. We were in like overtime day five or something like that, whatever we had made it to. And we are struggling because of the trash. Like, Kat's doing you have to chop the tomato and then chop it again and turn it into sauce. She's doing that, but she's also trying to get the trash but there's so many tables that I'm like, here's like four trash bags, do something about that. I don't have any counter space left for yelling. And Red joined in Discord, and he's like, oh, I
okay,
mean, I can
okay.
Jump in
so
and help.
The day before Red joined in, we were so close to failing it. I mean, we were close. And I'm in my mind, because I was watching the whole front part of the restaurant, I was like, if I don't get help or we don't fix this, we are failing. I can't do this.
We needed
I can't
a bigger
do this
garbage
solo
can.
Another day. Yeah, we need another garbage can. We need something to help things move faster. I can't do this. So Red's like, yeah, I could jump in. Okay, cool. So he goes ahead and jumps in. Go ahead. I'll let you finish the story.
We put him out in the front because usually it's him and Chicken as the servers. And they work really well together doing that. And the problem with jumping into a game in progress with played up, especially when you're in like the overtime days, is trying to figure out what the groove is and how everything functions. So not only was he trying to be like, oh, I haven't played this game in like forever, let me figure that out. It was, okay, but what am I supposed to do? We're like, they, you know, 18 or whatever it is. And he's like, I don't know what you want me to do. Should I take the trash out? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? We literally threw him straight into the fire. And then failed the day. It didn't help. It did not help.
And the thing is, like, he was never lost for a moment, because he was literally just stuck
doing
on trash duty.
Because there was
like
so
100%
much.
100% stuck. He would go to the trash can and then run back out, and Griff would be like, it's full again. And he'd be like, are you serious? And he never stopped. He never stopped running back and forth. He couldn't do anything else.
We just like, threw him straight. It was
I was still
so
serving,
funny.
But I couldn't serve fast enough. And he couldn't help because he was literally doing nothing but trash. Constantly back and forth. And Griff even had extra trash bags sitting around too.
Yeah, I was
just
filling up the kitchen with trash bags. It was in the sink. They were everywhere.
That's why I was like, we're gonna fail. Like, there's nothing I could do out here to make this faster. And if Red could help me, we probably could. But like, if he's helping me, the trash piles up, we fall behind in the kitchen. Like, it was just doomed.
I was not even mad. It was such a funny way to fail out, especially like throwing him in, and he's just like, I don't even know what's happening. I just got here. It was so fun.
I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
Exactly. That was exactly what he was in that game, like that specific round. He was like, I'm not even supposed to be here. It's my day off. Ah. Nothing's on fire. It was so good, though. So good.
That's funny.
We should probably get out of here, I guess.
She finishes the story and like, all right, let's leave.
I looked at the time and realized that we're like almost an hour and a half in, and I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, we played TTT and stuff like that. I'm sure we could tell some stories, but
I am absolute chaos incarnate. I shoot the shit out of anybody for any reason, not at all.
Or you could be Red in Murder. We played Murder Oak. I know that one's one of your favorite game modes. We played Murder, and he started with the gun as the bystander 5 times in a row and just started murdering people. Like,
he walked out of a room and just went, bam, just murked the first person. To be fair, I started doing that too. I was like, all right, I walk out of the room and you can just like hear none of the doors open because they're all afraid. They're like, oh god,
I hear windows breaking so that people can go out the back way instead.
Well, one of the times he did it, I was the murderer and I walked out with him and he insta-shot me.
Sometimes that's what happens. That shit is hilarious.
I will say,
I love Murder so much because it's so chaotic.
We were like 6 or 7 rounds in, and I was finally the murderer, and it was the first round that the murderer won. I did it, you guys. I did it.
I remember I got to be the murderer, and I murked everybody without them saying anything. Like, I would, like, they walk up to him and just instantly kill him. And then I'd put the knife away and walk, and I'd see somebody else and be like, hey, what you doing, Shank? Hey, what you doing, Shank? And then Sentry was like, hey, it's Blue Wisconsin or whatever. And I was like, Shank, and now I'm going to change my color. Where is he? Where's that blue one? And I'm pink. I'm his color now. He's like, where did he go? And I walk up to somebody else. Did you see him? Oh, Shank, you should have looked. So fucking funny. I was like, I just wait for somebody to call out my color, and then I change it to them. So after I kill him, they're like, oh, well, thanks for giving me my own alibi.
Baka was so mad at Red because those, like, of those five rounds that he started with the gun, I think he killed Baka three times in a row right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. I blasted Baka. I got up on the roof and I was like, anybody who comes up here, I'm going to blast. And Baka ran up to my face. I was like, you think I'm kidding? Boom! I blasted him off the roof. And I was like, all right, innocence. Bystanders, you know the rules now. You come up here, you getting blasted.
There was one match, and I don't remember who the killer was, but three of us, like, close to the end of the match, had finally, like, I was trying to get my last piece to get a gun, and I'm standing with two people that already had guns, and the killer comes running at it. It's like, bang, oh, I missed, bang, oh, I missed, and he killed the one with the gun, and I picked it up and, like, spun around and shot him. It's like, well, at least one of us is not terrible aim. Come on now, I didn't even have a gun until just right now. You people.
Yeah, you advice. People.
Sorry you missed that, Oak, but it was fun.
That game that I was on the roof, by the way, and after I shot Baka, Griff's...
You killed Baka, like, you deserved it.
She's like, how do I get up there? Doing that. How do I get up there? And I was like, here, you... I was standing still. I was like, you get up on top of the roof of the truck. I died because the killer took the opportunity of me helping Griff and threw the fucking knife at me while I was on the roof and killed me. He knew I had the gun.
I think it was Snitty.
It was Sentry.
I picked the gun up after that.
Yeah, it was Sentry. Somebody picked up the gun. If you picked up the gun, you killed Snitty then. Because Snitty jumped up on the fucking... No, it was Red who jumped up on the roof after me. And then Snitty got up there. Red blasted Snitty because Snitty's like, oh, the killer must be on the roof. And so Snitty jumps up there and Red's like, oh, no, you're the killer. Boom. Blasted him. Lost two guns. One went flying off the roof. The other one was sitting under Red. Sentry comes up onto the roof and is like, herp, derp. Hey, I can't pick up the gun. I'm running over the gun. Why can't I pick it up? And I'm like, Red, kill him. Red, kill him. He can't pick up the gun because he's the killer. Red, kill him. And just let him go. I was like, Red, kill. It's whatever. Because I was dead. I couldn't say anything. I'm just like, he can't pick up the gun because he's the killer. Just shoot him. Holy shit. And he didn't kill him till later. I think he died and somebody else picked up the gun and killed him.
I think that's, like, I think I did.
That's so,
I think I yeah,
that's
I think that was the round
though, because he did that in one of the nights for my birthday night that he was the same way.
I was like, oh my God. Yeah, because Sentry killed Red after he missed. And then Griff picked up the gun and killed him. I was like, oh my God, Red, what are you doing? You blind motherfucker. All you have to do. You could have killed him right there.
Oh, fun times.
Oh,
fun times.
Oh, my goodness.
We may play old games, but man, they are so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
They have long-term playability.
Yes.
So. They have a lot of replayability.
Make sure you update your mod pack, because I got new player models. So.
Yeah.
Also, we got a new game mode to try out sometime.
Which it's, I haven't put it in that pile last? Yet.
Yeah, it's like Hot Potato. So we just got, you know.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Hot potato.
Yeah.
It's going to be stuck in my head.
Red's going to be champ.
He probably will be.
Probably. Well, we do appreciate everybody that hangs out every other week and if it respawn. As always, you know, just hit the little sub button and the little bell down at the bottom. That way you're notified when this thing goes live.
Or if you're out. Ollie, I'll just ping you and be like, I need you to listen to this so we can have answers.
That works too.
Special treatment.
A special treatment. Well, I mean, if you're all are in the Discord, then at the end of the day, you know, then you know.
Mm-hmm.
also, make sure you go to twitch.tv/elitechicken313, where you've been playing through Deathloop. Have you finished it up yet?
No, not yet. I'm getting closer.
Hopefully, you'll get to play this week a little bit.
Yeah, I think I should be able to hopefully finish it up this week. I'm pretty close to the end. It feels like I'm wrapping it up.
Word. Then also make sure you go to twitch.tv/mdboaktree. Where I'm on every once in a while as well, you know, doing things and stuff. Sundays for sure. But just because I like my Sundays, mm-hmm. I'm just saying. For me for the respawn, I'm Oak Tree.
I'm Griff.
I'm Chicken.
I'm Bucket.
Bye.
See you.
Bye. Please hang up and try again.